Good morning. When I was a kid, my grandma gave me an extra special gift. It was a necklace that had belonged to her mom, my great-grandma. And it was a heart with a tiny little flower inlaid on it. And I was so moved when she gave it to me. I remember holding it in my hand and feeling the smooth surface with my fingers and feeling the slight weight of it. It meant so much because it had been hers and her mom's. And I didn't really know what to say. And I remember my grandma looking at me and saying, "Let me show you something." And she took the little necklace and she pressed the hinge on the side and it opened. And inside were pictures of her and her siblings from when they were little kids. I had never seen a locket before, so I was amazed, you know? And I remember looking at this like, wow, I saw this necklace and I thought I knew exactly what it was when she was giving it to me. But it turns out on further investigation, there was a whole nother layer, a whole nother special thing about it that I didn't know, just waiting to be discovered. Have you ever had an experience like that? Where you thought you knew the fullness of something, but then upon further investigation, you found out there was so much more. This morning we continue our Lenten sermon series, Because Of, where we look at the various attributes of God and the reasons that led Jesus to the cross and what those mean for us today. So far we have covered because of our need, because of God's love, because of his faithfulness, and because of his goodness. And next week is Palm Sunday, and we will continue this series with because of his obedience. And finally, Easter or Resurrection Sunday with because of his victory. And in fact, you have a little handout in your bulletin today, and you can take that out. As Pastor Gary told us last week, that is not for you to put on your fridge so you remember everything going on. Although we have extras if you'd like that. That is for you to take and give as you invite someone else to come with you to church next week and the week after. The number one reason people don't come to church is that they aren't invited. So let's do something about that. Let's bring them in. Someone who doesn't have a church home, someone who is looking for Jesus. So this morning, we continue our Because Of series by looking at another attribute of God and what that means for us. And I think this attribute is a lot like that necklace my grandma gave me. Because I think a lot of times we just look at it one-dimensionally. And when we look further, we discover that there's more. This morning, we are talking about God's grace. And our primary passage is going to be shorter than normal, but we're going to cover a lot more scripture later on. So would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning from Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. So there's a lot to unpack in just these few verses, a lot that we can learn about God's grace. The Apostle Paul says here that we have, because of God's grace, we have redemption through Jesus' blood. We have forgiveness of sins. We have been saved. And this salvation is not something we have earned, but is a gift. Now, this is foundational to our faith. We see these truths throughout the scriptures, don't we? And in the whole story of scripture as well, that while we were created in the image of God in order to be in communion with God, we messed that up. We chose ourselves, we turned from God, and because of that sin and all those that followed, we were not in right relationship with God. And we couldn't fix that on our own. We were bound to sin and death. We had been found guilty. Our sin weighed heavily upon us. Judgment and death and separation from God, this was the sentence that we couldn't pay off, and it hung over our heads. until God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, came to bring redemption and forgiveness through his life, death, and resurrection. And because he took our place on the cross, through his blood, he paid the price for our redemption. Because we owed something that he took on himself, we were shown pardon. This is grace, and because of God's grace, we have pardon. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be found righteous, so that we would be forgiven, and we would have the promise of life after this one. It is all because of God's love and grace. Because of God's grace, we have pardon. And Paul says that God lavishes this grace upon us. God is generous with grace because God loves us. Yes, our redemption came at a cost, but it was not given begrudgingly. Jesus doesn't regret showing us this grace, giving us this pardon. God lavishes it on us. And this is not because of anything we've done, not because we think we've passed some moral test that exists, but only because God loves us. This is a gift we receive by faith. As Eugene Peterson has said it, God did this with no help from us. Because of God's grace, we have pardon. We now have right relationship with God. We have been forgiven our sins, and we have the promise of life after this. And for those of us here today who have experienced this grace, this pardon, we know just how life-transforming it is, don't we? I was reading this theologian, Andrew Thompson, the last month or so, and it's got me thinking. If you think back to your childhood, when you did something wrong, you had a feeling about you, right? And you knew that feeling was not going to be relieved until your parents forgave you. And as adults, the situation is slightly different, but the circumstances can be the same. When we have done something wrong, it doesn't feel right. We know when it is off until we offer forgiveness or we are offered forgiveness. For those who experienced God's grace as pardon, we understand firsthand the feeling that comes from that. We can speak profoundly about God's forgiveness of us. And it becomes everything. It changes everything. It changes from something that has happened to us to being an integral part of who we are. Because of God's grace, I am pardoned. I was doing my sermon prep, finishing up the sermon this week from the coffee shop. I saw many of you there, yes. And another regular at the coffee shop, who knows I'm a pastor, came up to me, and he handed me this list of 40 reminders of who I am as a child of God. It's really cool. And I won't read you the whole list of 40, but I'll read you the first four. Who I am as a child of God. First, number one, of course, I am a child of God, Romans 8:16. Number two, I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy, Psalms 107:2. Number three, I am forgiven, Colossians 1:13-14. And number four, I am saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8, our verse from today. I am saved by grace through faith. This is not only something done to me, for me, this is who I am. Because of God's grace, I am pardoned. When my grandmother gave me that necklace, I thought I understood exactly what she was giving me. Until she opened it up and showed me that there was a whole nother layer I was unaware of. And many times in church, I think, when we talk about grace, we talk about it as one layer, one amazing and life-changing layer, forgiveness and pardon. This is what we've done so far this morning. And pardon is indeed an incredible, beautiful, life-changing gift, but like that necklace, God's grace is multidimensional, and there's more. Hear from the word of God from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. If grace is only pardon or forgiveness, how do we grow in it? Do we keep on sinning and sin a bunch so that God has to give us more and more grace, more in forgiveness? Interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul asked and answered that question in Romans. And he says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more as of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are set free from the power of sin. This instruction to grow in grace shows us that there is more to grace than just something we experience once in our lives. This is something that goes on and on and on, something that God offers us over and over again. Through God's grace, we have pardon, yes. And through God's grace, we are also empowered to live new lives. Lives where we are no longer bound to sin and death. Lives where our actions are not determined by those things. We are set free. You see, at first we look at grace and we see this incredible gift of forgiveness and pardon, and it's beautiful and amazing, and we are changed by it. And as we walk this path of discipleship, we see that there is more to God's grace than we thought at first. God's grace not only pardons, it empowers. God's grace not only offers us forgiveness of sins, it breaks the power of sin and death in our lives. God's grace not only grants us life after we die, it empowers us to live changed, transformed, new lives now. Grace is indeed the forgiveness of sins, the promise of life after this, and grace is the power of God in our lives, day to day, as we walk this path of discipleship, ever growing in Christ-likeness. Because of God's grace, we have pardon, yes. And because of God's grace, we have power. The power to live new life. And this is not from ourselves. This is grace. We are not able to live holy lives on our own. No part of the human life was left untouched by the effects of sin. But God's grace breaks the bondage and empowers us to live differently than we did before. God's grace empowers us to live lives that look more and more like Jesus every day. Titus 2:11 through 12 says that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. God's grace is pardon. And this grace teaches us to say no to ungodly passions and helps us live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. God's grace is power. God's grace empowers us to holy living and empowers us to grow in Christ's likeness. And this is more than simply avoiding sin. It's life transformation. God's grace is at work in our lives, doing what we could never do on our own. God's grace is power. And throughout our lifetime, it helps us develop the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. It helps us to grow in the characteristics of Jesus, that the longer we walk with Jesus, the more our lives would show the patterns of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because of God's grace, we have pardon, and because of God's grace, we have power. Because Jesus didn't only die on the cross. The story didn't end there. God raised him from the dead. Jesus came not only to die and take our place and offer forgiveness and pardon, Jesus also rose again and defeated sin and death, breaking its power and claim over us, so that we no longer have to live in bondage. I love the way our denomination, ECO, says it in its essential tenets. It said, Jesus' holy life must now become our holy life. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith who leads us along the path of life toward that goal, holiness, bringing us into ever deeper intimacy with the triune God. Because Jesus lived among us. Jesus came and showed us what it looks like to live lives that are holy and pleasing to God. And listen, is it easy? Absolutely not. Do we get it right all the time? No. Do we get it right most of the time? Probably not. We are not perfect as Jesus is perfect. And this is ever proving that we are in constant need of God's grace to be lavished upon us over and over and over again. But I do think that the longer we follow Jesus, it should make a difference in how our lives look. We should be growing and maturing in faith, and that should be evident in the fruits of our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul calls those who believe in Jesus but have not lived a holy life, so those who have experienced grace as pardon but do not really embrace grace as power, Paul calls them mere infants in the faith, able to only drink milk and not solid food. I think we will remain spiritual infants if we have received grace as pardon but refuse to embrace grace as power. Paul was writing these words trying to kick that church in the pants to get further along in this path of discipleship. Let's go. To recognize that their faith is about more than being saved for the next life. The faith is about being changed and different now. Dallas Willard used to say, Christians use up more grace than other people because following Christ requires it. I love that. Following Jesus on the road of holy living, the path of discipleship, it requires empowerment from outside of us. God's grace is pardon, and God's grace is power. And I worry sometimes that as believers, we look at grace the way I first looked at that locket my grandma gave me, one layer. And I think, you know, it's a metaphor, it's limited, but how silly would it have been if I had never realized that that necklace was a locket? And I went throughout my whole childhood wearing it, never knowing what it contained inside. Eventually, someone would probably ask to see what's inside the necklace, and I would have no idea what they're talking about. And they'd probably say something like, you know that's a locket, right? And at that moment, I would have an option. Am I going to listen to them and see what they're talking about and open it up? Or am I going to say, no, I've done this my whole life. I know what this is about, and refuse to open it. Because of grace, we do indeed have pardon and assurance of where we're going after this life, and that's true. And it's one of the most foundational grounding pieces of our faith, that we can face the hardships of this life, the bad news, the times where everything is falling apart, because we know we're in right relationship with God and we have life with God after this. We can face even death because grace is pardon. And like the locket, there is more. Grace is not only something we need to think about and count on near the end of our lives, grace is also power right now. It's not a ticket to heaven. Grace is true life-altering power to live a transformed life. And because of God's grace, I have been made right, I have been pardoned, I have been forgiven, and because of God's grace, I am being made holy. I am being discipled. I am taking step after step toward Christ-likeness. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And verse 10 says this, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Why is it so important to understand these different layers of grace? Because God has things planned for us to do. The people of God, the church, is a part of this plan of God's redemption for the world. For some mind-boggling reason, God wants to partner with us to show God's love and forgiveness and grace to the world. God has planned for us and called us to live in contrast with the way the world works. Because in the world, people are seeking power and privilege and self-advancement. In the world, people are trying to build their own kingdom and take advantage of others and lie and cheat and slander to get ahead. And as followers of Jesus, living holy lives, we're called to take up our cross and follow Jesus on this path of humility, self-sacrifice, where we put others' needs above our own, where we value others and love them and forgive them. And we do not live this way in order to earn God's love. I love that phrase from Philip Yancey's What's So Amazing About Grace. Grace means there is nothing that you can do to make God love us more. And grace means there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. Grace means that God already loves us as much as an infinite God can love. We do not live holy lives in the hope of earning God's love. No, we live holy lives because God's love propels us into it. Because God loved us already, we are able and empowered to live this way. So over the last month or so, as I've been preparing for this sermon, one story of Jesus kept coming up over and over and over. In books, in conversations, even in the devotional last week leading up to this week. And that was the story of the prodigal son. And this story, as you all know, it's about a son who receives his inheritance early because he demands it. Then he leaves his family and squanders it, and he has nothing. So he makes this plan to come back to his father to beg to be a servant in the household. And this story never uses the word grace. It doesn't give us a definition of grace. It doesn't have it's not Jesus' three-point sermon on grace. But I think it speaks of it profoundly. And I think that's because the son had sinned against the father and his plan to come back, he had this whole speech prepared, this whole confession. And he had written it and memorized it and practiced it, and then he got there and he hadn't even gotten one word out before the father came and wrapped his arms around him and kissed him. And then when he was finally able to speak, he only got the first sentence out before his father interrupted it by calling for a great celebration in his honor, and putting his best robe on him, and putting sandals on his feet, and putting that family ring back on his finger. I think the story speaks of grace because the father didn't only show forgiveness for sin and pardon. The father also gave the son what he needed to start this new life. He pardoned and then was able to step into this life where his father gave him gift after gift that was lavished on him, setting him up to live differently than he was thinking he would when he came back. Because of God's grace, I have been made right, I have been pardoned, and because of God's grace, I am empowered to live a new life. So here's the question I want to leave with you this morning. Have you opened the locket? Have you received the grace of God not only as pardon, but also as power? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never embraced grace in any form. Maybe you've never really believed that you could be fully known and fully loved by God. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that you don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to God. God already loves you fully and is calling to you to come. And if you want to embrace that grace for the first time today, I'd say please talk to me. Talk to Pastor Gary. Come after the service right up here where we have elders and deacons who are ready to pray with you and walk you through that. Or maybe you're here and you've known this grace as pardon. You've accepted Jesus. You've been forgiven, but you're stuck. Stuck in bad patterns and habits and shame, discouragement, wondering why you're not growing and you want to. And today, God is inviting you to open that next layer of grace to invite the power of the Holy Spirit into your life, the power that transforms and breaks the power of sin. So I'll ask you again, have you opened the locket? Church, what kind of community would we be if we truly lived as people marked not only by pardon, but by power? What if we were people who embodied grace in every area of our life, not just as something we receive, but something we live from and show to others? Let's not be people who only wear the necklace. Let's be the kind of church that opens it and lives it and invites others into it. Because of God's grace, we have pardon. And because of God's grace, we have power. And because of God's grace, we will never be the same. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for your grace in our lives. We are thankful that you call to us and that you have already done what we could never do. You have made it right with us. You have forgiven us and pardoned us by your grace. And God, we are so thankful that it doesn't end there. We're thankful that the story didn't end with you on the cross, but ended in the empty tomb where you broke the power of sin and death. We're thankful that your grace can empower us today in this life to live transformed. God, we are so grateful. And we ask that you would make your presence known to all of us this morning, and that your grace would abound on us. It is in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.